This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening. You are listening to Rock and Roll Autopsy. This is Scott.
This is Rico. Greetings.
Good evening. We are going to perform another autopsy tonight. It is going to be a...
The request line is what it's going to be.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm excited about this. So we're going to get a good call. And
good request.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on WRNRA.
Man, come on. Are you serious?
Unbelievable. This guy is calling us every
Can somebody week. With a real phone call just please call us?
Breather, what do you want this week?
Okay, yes, we know. Okay.
Do you have a song request you'd like us to do?
Okay, enough with you. We're done with that guy.
All right. Well, it sounds like the breather would like us to do Walk This Way by Run DMC and Aerosmith.
And Aerosmith. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk a little bit of rap today.
But first,
the news.
What is this garbage you're watching?
I want to watch the news.
This is the news.
Right on. Let's get to the news. April 25th, 1974, Pamela Corson, who was Jim Morrison's girlfriend and the one who found him dead in a bathtub, dies of a heroin overdose at age, what's the magic number?
27, baby.
Well, always 27, isn't it?
So can she be a member of the 27 Club if she's not a famous musician slash artist slash entertainer? Can she still be in the club?
I mean, she's famous, kind of famous.
But
yeah, let's put her in the club. What the hell?
Fuck it.
Who's in the club? Who can you rattle them off? Who do you think?
All right, so we've got Joplin.
Janis Joplin.
Joplin. Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
Morrison.
Jim Morrison.
Pamela Corson.
Pamela Corson.
Cobain.
Kurt Cobain.
When
did Mama Cass die? How old was she? She wasn't that old.
Can you dial that up on your phone real quick while I'm thinking? Or not?
You realize I'm elderly, right? Mama.
Do you know?
Cat.
Is that the cricket phone? With the big, huge buttons?
Oh, let's see.
Is it your flip Motorola?
Cass Elliot. You're hilarious. I'm not good at math, but she was born in 41 and died in 74. So she was 32.
31, 30. Yeah.
So
she's not part of the 27 Club.
No. Did we get all of them?
Did I get everybody?
I don't know.
I got most of the main people.
But it's right? Fucking weird, right?
Is the 27 Club is real, right?
Yeah. What about the Keith? What about the Rolling Stones guitar player who died? Was that Brian Jones?
Brian. Come on. You're the bigger of Rolling Stone fan of the two of us.
Now you're cheating.
I'm cheating big time. I'm using. There's the 27 Club. All right, so let's see if I missed anybody.
Brian Jones, age, you want to guess his age?
27.
27, he's a member of the 27 Club.
Anyway, Jones, Hendrix, Joplin, Morrison, Kurt Cobain, forgot one. Robert Johnson, man, the father of the blues was 27.
Oh, yikes, the first one, the Crossroads.
That's right.
All right, what else is going on in the news? Are you ready?
Yes, so let's see here. I'm going to skip that second one. In April 26, 2008, Prince makes the crowd go absolutely crazy by covering Radiohead during an epic headlining set after being a last-minute addition to the Coachella Festival.
And what song did he play, dude?
Huh?
What did he play?
I don't know,
probably
but
Creep.
The point is
High and Dry.
If you're fucking
okay,
Prince,
computer.
Dude, you can cover whatever the fuck you want, and it's probably going to sound kick-ass.
Yeah,
right?
he's a bad man, right?
I would love to have heard that, because that's a pretty interesting song for him to cover, and I wonder if he like funked it up a little bit, like only he could do.
I bet it's probably on the YouTubes.
Probably.
April 27th, 1951, Ace Frehley of Kiss is born. Paul Frehley? In the Bronx, New York.
Ace is much better. He was right for going with Ace.
Yeah.
It's much more rock and roll-y sounding.
Ace Frehley, man, dude launched a million guitar players.
For sure.
Dudes, all those cats in the 80s who were shredding up a storm and making a name for themselves, they all loved Ace Frehley.
A million guitar players with one lick. And a million guitar players.
I mean,
he owned it, though, man.
He
right?
owned it. Super influential dude. And guess what, man? His leads on those 70s Kiss
Killer,
albums
man.
Are great. It's great
the
shit.
The first couple albums were just fucking rocking. Love it.
All right, Paul Frehley. We love you. What else
we
is
love
in the
you,
news?
Paul. Let's see. In April 28th, 1963... A 19-year-old Andrew Lug Oldham, who did some PR work for the Beatles, checks out the Rolling Stones at a show in Richmond, England. He becomes their manager, and a little later on makes them add the G to then become Rolling instead of Rollin'. So do you think they would have just petered out as a nothing band without that G? Did that G make all the difference in the world, do you think?
Yes, if they didn't add that G to their name, they would have become nothing. I mean, Satisfaction would have just petered out. It would have been like, can you imagine Gary Gnu if he didn't have the G? Do you remember Gary Gnu?
Well, hell yeah, I do. No Gnus is good Gnus.
Right.
With Gary Gnu.
He needed the G, right? Otherwise, he's just reading the news like us. And I think just like Gary Gnu, the Rolling Stones needed that G. And thankfully, this dude came along at the right time and said, what are you guys doing? You know, you are missing a letter.
They must have been pretty hard up to give this dude the manager gig by just talking him into adding a G to their name. I mean, what's your... Yeah, we're looking for a manager. And, you know, what are your qualifications as a manager? Well, you should add a G to your name. You're hired.
All right. Speaking of G, we're going to talk about a straight G. April 30th, 2004, Michael Jackson is arraigned on his child molestation charges, pleading not guilty to 10 different criminal counts, also including extortion and false imprisonment.
Yeah, man. Did you watch that?
Do we want to do this?
I just want to ask real quick. Did you watch that documentary that the one guy did?
No, I read about it and I did not.
I watched it.
I did not want to.
I am 1,000% convinced that MJ is guilty as charged. Like, he is straight up.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty as charged.
I'm convinced that he is 100%, and I blame his father. I don't really blame him for it. I kind of blame his dad for fucking his childhood up.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into
Let's
this.
Let's not. Let's just
it's
go.
Just gross.
I got one
upsetting.
More good one. April 30th, 1976. Human rock stereotype. Keith Moon.
That's great. Human rock stereotype.
Good one, right? I liked it too. Adds to his legend when he pays 9 New York City cab drivers $100 whopping dollars each. Of course, in 1976, I suppose that was
pretty
more.
Good, man.
$100 each to block both ends of a street so he can throw furniture out of his room at the Hotel Navarro. Details of this story may have been exaggerated or embellished, but it is consistent with his behavior. I don't know if it's true or not, but I buy the fuck out of this. I
we
bet
want
you
it
that
to
actually
be true,
happened.
Right?
It's Keith fucking Moon,
yeah,
man.
I mean, you want to think that this dude was throwing furniture.
That dude's a fucking rock star. He's Keith fucking... Do I buy that he threw furniture out of us? Yeah, I bought that.
Hell yeah. And even if he was just in there reading a book, if he was in there, like, reading Walt Whitman, like, Leaves of Grass, and, like, sipping wine, and just being, like, had a... Hit a candle.
Yeah, that happened, right?
He was in his jammies. You know, you don't want to believe that shit. That's,
no.
That's not fucking
fuck
rock
no.
and roll. You want to believe that he was buck-ass naked,
that he's,
high as a kite,
fuck
throwing
yeah.
furniture out a window, banging broads in the hallway.
Dropping turds in the bathtub instead of in the toilet.
Yeah, dropping a deuce in the tank and not in
fuck
the bowl
yeah.
so that every time you flush it makes... it makes the water brown. Because there's nothing more rock and roll than there's leaving an upper deck in the hotel room. Oh, God.
On that note, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back to do our autopsy.
I've been a part of the minimalist shoe community for a little while now. Tried more than one brand with varying results, but the shoes I'm wearing right now are from Xero. That's X-E-R-O. They're based out of Denver, Colorado. Let me tell you, these shoes are incredible. The style I'm wearing right now are the Prio, but they have other styles too, depending on your activity level, whether you're doing some heavy hiking, some road work, or if you just need some sandals for the beach. They're incredibly well put together. The soles come with a 5,000 mile warranty. The uppers come with the Huarache style strap, so if you need to tighten the uppers up a little bit to get them a little snug to your feet, you can do that very easily without compromising the comfort. The toe box is nice and wide to give your toes lots of room to spread out the way they're intended. Xero shoes look great and they feel even better. They're one of the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn, but don't take my word for it, people. Go to the website, here's our affiliate link, xeroshoes.com/go/RNRA affiliate. Do your own research, look at what they have. If you got yourself a pair, you would love them just as much as I do.
All right, Rico.
Yeah, man, what's up?
We need reviews.
What is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's like...
What does that mean to us?
Well, people who listen to our podcast, it would be swell if they would go to Apple Podcasts and write a review, or go to Spotify and give us a star rating, something between 1 and 5. It helps us.
How do we know how bad we really are if people don't tell us?
We need the feedback. And the algorithm loves it, and that algorithm is hungry.
It needs fed bad. You know what else needs fed bad? Your ego needs fed bad on this.
Yeah,
and that's why we really want the reviews. Let's face it, right? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I get zero positive feedback in my life. People around me despise me. So I'm counting on total strangers to say nice things.
Yeah, I guess the point is to make your ego like completely non-manageable so that I want to stop doing this podcast.
And people might be motivated to do that if they dislike the podcast.
Right. If they want to see in like an intercompany battle between creative differences and how I can't stand how giant your ego is, all we need is for those people to start giving us reviews and feedback, and that'll happen, guys. You'll get some really good social media entertainment here.
It would be a backwards way for them to kill a podcast they hate by saying good things about it, so that my ego would rage out of control.
Exactly.
And you would storm off in a huff.
I think we all want that, right?
I know I do.
So please, do us a favor and give us some feedback.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955. On this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted unto the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm, a sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose, thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
All right, welcome back.
Welcome.
It is time to perform our autopsy.
And do not try this at home because we are amateurs.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
All right. All right, dear listener, you know because you tune in every week that when we perform an autopsy, we use the scientific method. We've
highly
got
scientific.
Five categories. They are gratuitous boomerism.
Boomers.
Excessive misogyny.
Misogyny.
Wanton whiteness.
Whitey.
Malignant machismo.
Macho.
Culture vulturism.
Vultures.
All right, Rico, let's hit the ground running. The song is Walk This Way. The artist, Run DMC and Aerosmith. Category number one, gratuitous boomerism. How do you score it?
Yeah, man. Although they're the age of boomers, clearly. This song is super forward. I have to give this. I'm debating if I want to do a full negative one on this, but I'm going to go with a zero on the boomerism.
You, sir, verbalized exactly what was in between my ears. That is what I was thinking. Although these cats are boomers, or at least like, are they boomers or are they like Gen Xers on the cusp? Not sure. But this is, as you said, I like the word forward. This is a song that predicts the future. It's forward thinking. It was ahead of its time. It was groundbreaking, all of that stuff. And for that reason, I am not giving it a plus one. I am giving it a zero for gratuitous boomerism.
As am I.
Category number two, excessive misogyny.
I'm going to give this one a one on misogyny because of the lyrics, which, you know, again, I think Walk This Way, it was off of Toys in the Attic, and I think that was, what, 76?
Somewhere, yeah.
So, yeah, the lyrics.
Early to mid-70s, yeah.
The lyrics themselves are, give it a plus one, although they're not Run DMC's lyrics.
Yep.
But still, I still give them a one on that one, just because of the lyrics.
They're great lyrics. They're
great
fun
lyrics.
Fun
Fantastic.
Lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, these are lyrics that these dudes like practiced rapping to these lyrics, right? Because it kind of has that flow to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the modern eye, yes, these are lyrics that could certainly be accused of excessive
especially
misogyny.
In light of there's another track on this album called Dumb Girl, which they did write the lyrics to. The message of that goes completely in 180 degree opposite of the lyrics of this song. So, Yes, they get a plus one for me because of the nature of the lyrics.
Next category, wanton whiteness. Rico, how do you score?
A negative 1,000. Negative. That's a negative, a full-on negative one. Come on, I think it's self-explanatory, right?
This is rap, man.
It's a rap, baby.
It's a rap rock song. It's a zero for me. Next category, malignant machismo. A little swagger.
There's swag. Score? I'm going to go full one on this one. It's macho in a swag kind of way.
Yeah, and Steven Tyler, I mean, his lyrics always. I mean, this guy, he looks like a rooster. You know what I mean? He's got that
it's
cockiness
true.
To his strut. And
it's true.
It comes out in his lyrics. It comes out in the way these guys deliver these lyrics, you know? It's
Hex,
a commanding performance. So
yeah.
I am giving it a plus one as well. And our last category as we zip on through our autopsy tonight is culture. Vulturism. Rico, how do you score it?
As much as I hate to say this, man, it's got to be a plus one because Rick Rubin appropriated Aerosmith, and Aerosmith kind of appropriated Run DMC in order to make their comeback. So they kind of altered each other on this one.
Let's set the table a little bit on that. At this time, Aerosmith in the 70s were a huge American rock band. Great records, super credible records. They were kind of the, as the Rolling Stones were kind of dovetailing, Aerosmith was ascending, and they were kind of the American Rolling Stones, right?
70s Aerosmith is my favorite version of them by
far. They had the toxic twins of Joe Perry and Steven Tyler.
That's right.
Drugs were gripping the band, destroying the band. By one point in the 80s, Joe Perry's no longer in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a comeback. And how did they make this? Part of their comeback was doing this track with Run DMC, right?
Rick Rubin bailed them the fuck out, man.
Yeah, but wasn't Rick Rubin was running Def Jam at the time, right?
22-year-old Rick Rubin gives Aerosmith's agent a call on the phone one day in 1986 and says, "Hey, I represent Def Jam Records. I represent Run DMC. We're putting this album together, and we want to do a rap with Walk This Way." And what did the Aerosmith's agent say?
"What's rap?
What's rap?" I mean, that's how out in left field this was. But
yeah, I think
the vision, though, was amazing.
Yeah, totally. And you know, sidebar in Rick Rubin, it's really interesting because this is a guy who was in at the ground floor of hip-hop and signing rap acts to Def Jam and being a real kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? He was an advocate for the genre.
For sure.
So he helps give birth to rap music, which would become the dominant form of music in American culture.
Rick Rubin made rap commercially successful.
But you could also argue that in doing so, he contributed to the death of rock and roll. But the reality is that this guy also signs a bunch of rock acts and brings them up. And he takes rock acts that are dipping in popularity and helping them find again what made them special and helps them make some of the best records of their career.
That's right.
So this is a guy that just like is an advocate and an ally to musicians and helps them kind of.
And he made it a business out of resuscitating old acts.
Yeah.
Made a career out of it.
Yep. And even acts that were acts he discovered. He helped, of course, Red Hot Chili Peppers in their prime, yep. Slayer, Danzig. I mean, this guy had Trouble. I mean, he had a lot of great acts on his roster. All right. For Culture Vulturism, your score is?
Full one.
Yep. I'm going to give it a one as well, and I'm going to do some math. Let me take my shoes and socks off.
We the jury.
Oh, nope. Song wrong button. My bad. There we go. Drum roll button. Okay, so before we go over our scores, got my score, you have your score. I have to say, I was listening to this entire album. I listened to both, actually. I did Raising Hell, which is the album that this track is on, listening to that one today, and then I backed it right up with Toys in the Attic. So I did them back to back today.
That's cool. That's a cool double.
It was
double shot.
It was amazing.
Should have did it on Tuesday. You'd have a two for Tuesday.
Ooh, that would have been sweet.
Two for
Tuesday. Listen, man, Raising Hell by Run DMC ought to be on everybody's fucking playlist. That album is packed with great tracks, man. My Adidas, Dumb Girl, You Be Illin', fucking, there's so many great ones on there. Highly recommend. And if you want to back it up with Toys in the Attic, that's another great album too, like Big 10 Inch, Uncle Salty, fucking Walk This Way, Sweet Emotion, yeah, another great album.
And
so,
it's like, if you're a rock fan who feels like, you know, you know who Run DMC was, but you didn't listen to him back in the day, I mean, I feel like Run DMC has so much rock in their DNA.
Absolutely.
That Run DMC to me is kind of like almost like a rock act. I mean, there's a lot of hard rock in their music.
On the album, they actually say rock in the mic, we rock, 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 rock several times. And in fact, their title track, Raising Hell, is a full-on rap album. There's full-on heavy guitar in there with a real drum kit. Listen, man, we wouldn't have Rage Against the Machine. We wouldn't have Faith No More. We wouldn't have Beastie Boys. We wouldn't have Limp Bizkit. We wouldn't have Linkin Park. None of those people would have existed without Run DMC. They all owe their careers to Run DMC, in my opinion.
And there was all that cross-pollination back then.
That's
a lot
right.
of it coming from Rick Rubin. I mean, I can think of, like, Rick Rubin had Run DMC. He had the Beastie Boys. But he also had Slayer. So, like, when you hear Fight for Your Right, you're hearing the Slayer guitarist, Kerry King, playing the solo.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to Public Enemy, you hear Slayer and She Watched Channel Zero, because there was all this cross-pollination because these guys were all label mates.
Public Enemy with Anthrax.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of cool.
You wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for Run DMC. I mean, they're pioneers of rap. They helped make rap popular. But they did so much more than that they just don't get credit for.
And they belong in the Rock Hall.
They absolutely, man, belong
there. But
people
groan at it, and I don't get it.
No, that's false.
So anyway, we've got some addition to do.
All right, so
Let's wrap up this autopsy.
I have 4 points, and how many points do you have?
I have 3 points.
Holy cow, are you kidding me? So what we're saying is,
the jury find the defendant guilty as charged.
It kind of makes sense, though.
I don't care. I don't agree.
But if you think about how popular rap would become, and rap has kind of taken the place of rock music in terms of popularity.
I mean, from that perspective, it did kill rock. Because rap,
because it helped.
Ever since then, rap has totally taken over, and rock is no more.
So, yes, and right there, I mean, Run DMC were like the forefathers, right?
Yeah.
So helping them become successful helps rap become successful and ultimately contributed to the death of rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's highly scientific.
Done. Hey, listen, without Run DMC, there would be no Yo MTV Raps, which in Yo MTV Rap, there was plenty of rock videos, etc. on MTV, and Yo MTV Raps was one of the first non-music show. I mean, not that rap is not musically oriented, but Yo MTV Raps was a TV show, one of the first that was on MTV, and then from there it just ballooned, and eventually all the music was eliminated from MTV. So yeah, I mean, from that perspective, it did kill rock and roll. Although I love this fucking album, and everybody should have it in their playlist, like I said before. It's amazing. Run DMC is fucking killer. I remember in high school, when we were traveling on the bus, everybody was rapping to this album, all of them. It's just,
it was a lot of fun back then.
Oh, for sure.
The Fat Boys, Run DMC, early LL Cool J.
Hell yeah. All of that is fantastic.
All of us were rock fans in the 80s who also were rapping these songs.
We all were.
Didn't really see a difference either.
No, it was just all
genres.
They were all great listens.
Fun music. All right, this has been Rock and Roll Autopsy. Thanks for listening.
Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it was like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
The dawn, loving till the morning. I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNR Autopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.